Last night we heard from Matthew and Luke's gospel. The nuts and bolts of the story is told from some different perspectives. John's gospel tells it from a little bit of a different way. He doesn't tell us necessarily about the baby who was born or those who were there, but he talks about the truth of what it meant for God to come and be with us. So I share part of John's gospel as he begins in chapter 1. This is from the Message. When we hear it talked about the Word, John is talking about Jesus. As John talks about the light life, he's talking about Jesus. So hear these words that tell of Christ's birth from a little different perspective. The Word was first. The Word was present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. What came into existence was the light life that blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into the light. He was in the world. The world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed that he was who he claimed to be and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me and for me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth, in the meditation of our hearts, in this time joined around your table, may it be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus isn't just the cute baby that comes to bring joy and happiness to us. I mean, when we see a newborn baby, it makes us smile. When we get to hold it, even if it's crying, somehow it seems to be cute. And I think sometimes we allow that to over-romanticize what this day is about. Maybe throughout this holiday season, you haven't 100% of the time found yourself joy-filled, feeling all Feliz Navidad-ish. Maybe you wanted to take a hammer to the bells instead of jingle them from time to time. And maybe that has made you feel guilty. It made you feel like this Christmas isn't for you. Let's remember what it really meant for Christ to come in the way that he did. He didn't come to a beautifully decorated church with the lights hanging just so. He didn't come with perfectly wrapped presents under a tree. He came to a manger. And as the video that we started with today kind of jokingly reminded us, in a very serious way, it wouldn't have smelled nice. They weren't there because they thought, wow, this is going to prove a great point. No, all of the ways that we've cleaned it up and sanitized it and put a bow on that first Christmas is in some way maybe not allowed our hearts to truly worship the wonder that is our God who has come to us. So my purpose today isn't to unbeautify your Christmas. I pray that we are having a wonderful season and that today is amazing. But when we think that Christmas is just about nicely wrapped presents in lights that blink when they're supposed to or go on when we hit the switch, family gatherings that are filled with smiles and laughters, if that is all that Christmas is about, there is a huge danger to our souls, not only during this season, but as we began to take down the decorations and put away the things that remind us of this time of year, the Christ child does not leave us. And so whether we've felt guilty during this season because we haven't felt, quote-unquote, Christmassy enough, or even if we have, as the realities of life start to settle in and the cold and dark of winter that is probably to come, it's supposed to be 50 tomorrow, so don't, maybe it won't come tomorrow, but it's on its way. As we begin to feel far from God, we must remember Christmas, that God didn't come to us neatly packaged in the place that was perfectly prepared, but he came to the corner of nowhere, to parents who had nothing, in a smelly stable, because he does not want us to think that only when our lives are all put together and when things are perfect, can he be there for us? No, Jesus came into a place that was exactly the opposite of what we try so hard, so often to put together in this season. Because he wants us to know that it's not just in a season of joy that he is here for us, but it is at all times, in all seasons, through all emotions, no matter how messy or stinky or vulnerable we may find ourselves. God is with us. So here's the choice. Jesus came to us in that way, one, as I've already said, to I believe, show us that he will come to us no matter what we are walking through. But I also believe the King of the universe comes to us as a vulnerable baby to prove to us that he will not force himself into this world and he will not force himself into our lives. So I imagine we have all walked through and maybe even now are walking through some dark things. And it causes us to wonder, well, where is God in this? Even when we most need him, Jesus will not force himself upon us. So the invitation for us on this day and every day, whether it's a season of light or darkness, whether it is a time of hardship or a time to celebrate, the invitation, whether it is a time where we have it all figured out, or a time when we find ourselves wondering, how did I get this far in life without having anything figured out? No matter what, the choice every day is, will you let Jesus be born in you on this day and on the day to come? So while there may be times where we wonder where God is, the truth is, because of what happened there in that stinky stable over 2,000 years ago, God is always right there with us. But will we make the invitation to him to come and to be with us? I'm going to need the help from our kids. I'm going to invite you to come on up. as we remember just how close God is to us. Doug, you could go up and put the words up. You may have noticed when we prayed, we sang some verses, but not the chorus, and so the chorus is going to help us here in a second. What do I have here?
Bread.
How many people have eaten bread in the last few days? So bread is something that we've all eaten. How many of us have ever been a baby? Wait a second. All of you have been a baby before? That was how you were born? And was that how Jesus was born?
Yes.
So we all have that in common, right?
Yes.
And we all eat some kind of bread. So even though, how many of you understand everything there is to understand about God? A few of you, all right. You're doing better than me, because I wouldn't raise my hand to that. There's a lot to understand about God, isn't there?
Yeah.
Do you all know that God loves you? Do you think that maybe God loves you even more than you'll ever understand?
Yes.
And God knew that. He knew that it might be hard for us to understand everything. He knew that it might be hard for us to understand just how much he loves us. So he came to be a baby just like every one of us was. And when he was about to leave his best friends, his disciples, he wanted them to always to be able to remember how much he loved them. So he took something that they were going to have on a regular basis, something that we have on a regular basis, which is what?
Bread.
Because he wants to remind us just how close he is to us every day. And so he took that bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Not just at church when we join at this table. We can remember that Jesus is with us whenever we have bread. What do you think might be in this cup?
Grape juice,
not wine. We talk about it as wine, but how many of you had juice lately? Yeah. Why do you think Jesus did that? Well, it is for his blood. But it's that he wants us to remember, even when we drink something as simple as juice, that his love is with us, that he has poured out to us how much he loves us. And so he told his best friends there on that night before he was going to be turned over, he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." And so, not just at church, but even when we're having juice with dinner, we can remember that God loves us and he'd pour himself out for us because of that great love for who he is. So normally when I have you guys up here, I pray a little bit and invite you guys to pray after me. I'm going to pray just a little bit tiny longer prayer, so I'm not going to have you repeat, but can you join me as we pray to ask Jesus to be with us in the bread and the juice that we share? And then we're going to have a little bit, we're going to have to figure out a little bit. I would like you guys to help share communion with everybody today. You think we can do that? Yeah, so we're going to have to figure that out a little bit, because there's a lot of us. This is a good. I wasn't sure how many we'd have show up, so we're going to have to figure that out. Can we pray? Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that Jesus is always here with us. Help us to recognize just how close he is as this bread and this juice become for us his body and his blood. Lord, help us to be one with each other and one with you and one in ministry to all of this world as we receive once again your great gift in the common everyday things like bread and juice, of your presence and your forgiveness. So be with us here. Lord, as our children help to serve us, remind us of the simple yet profound ways that you come to us to say, that we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.